Support for That Trippy Show comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it. Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/trippy. That's odoo.com/trippy. Hey, everybody, it's Joe Trippy, and welcome back to That Trippy Show. This week, a new swing state poll has Joe Biden moving in the right direction, an Alabama special election win for Democrats.
I've heard that
before. It's a sign of things to come for sure, although I'm sure there'll be some spin on the other side. Trump's wild week, a couple of things the media is getting badly wrong that we've got to fix. And yes, I do think Democrats have a shot to keep the Senate. Alex, where do you want to get started, my friend?
I always like to get started with some good news for Joe Biden, right? New Bloomberg poll. And by the way, this is they've been tracking swing states for months, and it's been pretty doom and gloom. But Joe Biden very clearly moving in the right direction. And I have not seen a lot of coverage of this. Joe, what did you see in this one?
Well, like three states, Wisconsin, they have him, Biden up one when Trump was up four. So that's a 5-point move. Pennsylvania was tied when they had Trump plus six. So that's a 6-point move. And then Michigan tied where Trump was up three last time around. So there's a couple of things I've been pointing out about all this. But one is, first of all, none of those numbers matter. All of them are a dead heat. I mean, even the ones that had it the other way around, you know, these are going to be very close states. Got that. But this movement's significant because, you know, the percentage that says the national economy is on the right track has increased by 6 points from 26 in October to 32 now. That lag is going to continue, I think. But the other thing I think that people are missing here that I think, you know, you and I talk about a lot is all these other, you know, when you look under the hood and they're talking about, geez, it's a dead heat, or Biden's up by one in Wisconsin, tied in Pennsylvania, tied in Michigan. Those are all at this moment where the polls are showing that, you know, Biden is getting like 70 something percent of blacks, not 95. Like he did last time. He's getting, you know, 40 something of Latinos, not 56, 57 like he did last time. Young people, he's barely winning them, not by the 30 points he did last time. Okay, let's look at this. All those numbers are true. And Biden's ahead by a point in Wisconsin in a dead heat in the other battleground states. What does that tell you? So if any of those people come back, because of climate change, Dobbs, the racist crap that Trump will be spewing, the mass deportations and the internment camps for Latinos, which will be out there, he'll be yapping about, the Muslim ban and getting rid of all them. All that stuff is true. We're in a dead heat right now. The groups that Biden needs, they're right about, you know, saying, hey, these groups are, you know, below where they were last time. Well, last time they were below those numbers. They didn't come together till the very end as people paid more attention to the contrast. That's going to happen again here. These numbers are very good because you and I don't pay much attention to the head-to-head. But my point is not the head-to-head. My point is, okay, it's tie, and let's look under the hood and look at the groups that Biden needs to cut some. We're not talking about getting the 95. We're talking about, you know, 3 or 4 point bump in all those groups, young people, people of color, again, and we'll get to what's happening with women, but there's all kinds of things here that I think make sense. And then of course, yeah, the economy, as we've been talking about, the weight that's been, you know, sort of the anchor pulling Biden down, that weight's getting, you know, again.
Right. Like real wage growth is up. I mean, which is basically wage growth is now significantly outpacing inflation. I mean, to your point, I think
these swing state voters said in October that their personal financial situation was better off under Trump by a 20-point margin. It's now 16 points. And it's only 4 points, but that shift, that's what I'm saying, that weight is coming off. And the weight, I think, on Trump with the, you know, his money problems, more facts coming out, you know, the nominees in North Carolina and Ohio, you know, the sort of the MAGA cult nominees that he's foisted on his party again. All these things, I think, are going to pull him down, MAGA down, and you're starting to see the gradual shift.
Right. Well, you look at the trend. I mean, this is the first poll in the last couple months that clearly shows economic trend and Joe Biden poll number trend. And yeah, you're right, the head-to-head doesn't matter. But if you look at, it's almost like you look at the momentum. If he's gaining, losing. Well, now he's gaining. The underlying numbers are gaining. And it's just very clearly tied. Yeah, okay, 32%.
No, but his favorables are up again, you know, into the 40s. And the number of people saying the economy is the single most important issue has dropped from 39% to 34%. That's 5 points. In other words, you're seeing that same 5-point shift, the movement with Biden in terms of head to head is correlating with people's view, you know, the sort of the lagging grasp of that the economy is moving in the right direction. All these things are moving sort of in sequence. That's what you're looking for. Not you know, right, did the head to head change, but what changed that sort of explains it all. And you're seeing a number of things happening here that, again, I think the economic pressure is you know, drifting up for Biden in terms of lifting him a little bit. Right. At the same time, I think the some of the arguments that the Trump side is making, I mean, particularly other than selling Bibles and anything else he can do to raise money for his legal bills, is not helping him. And I don't think in the end, you know, I don't think in the end we'll need a conviction. I think people will get enough of that 31% who say they're not going to vote for him if he's convicted. Enough of them, like 3-4% of them, may say to hell with this after they, you know, a couple of months from now when more of this stuff is coming out and he's right in even more trouble.
And we'll.
That Trippy Show will always be free with support from our advertisers, and we try to work with partners we believe in. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. When you keep what's stressing you bottled up, it can really start to drag you down. That's where therapy can help. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/trippy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trippy. Support for That Trippy Show comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together, so you get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it. Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/trippy. That's odoo.com/trippy.
We'll get there, I promise. But the one question I had is, so if you look back at that last number you pointed out, the economy is the single most important issue. It's down 5 points. Is it fair to say that when people think the economy is bad, they are more likely to say it is the most important issue? And then when things are starting to go better for people, they start looking at the other issues they care about? Is that how that works?
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you think if you're having a tough time, you think the economy's sour, but what's happening is your wages are going up, inflation is coming down. The real big problem with the lag is interest rates. Because, look, you can have inflation coming down, but you still can't, you know, you want to buy a house, but you're waiting for, you know, for the days of 3% interest, 4% interest, because that bill is significant, you know, to be if you're stuck with a 7 or you know, 6.8. And same thing for credit cards and all that stuff. So even though you can get insulin capped at $35, which is a price reduction that Biden fought for and got, you know, and other prescription drugs and doing the other things he can do, you know, you're waiting for the Fed to lower interest rates.
Well, and that's another one, right? They just said, and obviously the markets have responded, but the Fed's saying that they could potentially cut interest rates, what, 3 times this year?
I mean, yeah, those are... say, even if they only do it twice, people will start, again, it's the release of, okay, rates are going to start going down. I could, maybe 6 months from now, I can go look for that house or whatever, you know, the things that they're looking for. It's a very significant thing. I think Bill Kristol wrote a really good piece that sort of explains it's the high cost of interest that's actually kind of delayed the lag, you know, made the lag even a little bit longer. And it's still going to be a cloud for sure. But I keep also pointing out that in 2022, interest rates were, you know, everything, inflation was out of control. Gas prices were way up. I mean, you know, way, way up. Inflation was off the charts. Unemployment, you know, I mean, the job creation was still there, but wages were not outpacing what inflation was doing in 2022. Should have been a red wave. Didn't happen. This is even when people were saying at much bigger numbers, Alex, that the economy was their number one thing, right? Even then, it didn't matter. It didn't, the economy being, you know, much worse in people's perceptions then and should have done the red wave, it didn't happen. And, you know, and part of that, of course, was Dobbs in 2020. You know, when you look at what was happening here, and we're seeing it again. And I know you want to get to this, but, you know, Alabama.
Yeah, glad we're, let's talk about an actual election.
Yeah, the Alabama special. Maryland lands one state house district, 10, near Huntsville. She lost it by 7 points.
Last time, yeah.
Last time she lost it. Trump won it. She won it by 25 points. By directly challenging the Alabama abortion IVF bans. And, you know, people ask, is this a sign of things to come? If you haven't seen this sign coming in every special that's or any election that's happened since then, when Republicans, I mean, this is a Republican district that she lost by 7. She's now winning it by 25. Just for those who, you know, help the MAGA folks do the math here, that's 32 point swing in a place that Trump won. And you and I, look, we've worked a ton in Alabama, you know, going back to Doug Jones in 2017. This is a amazing thing that happened. And, you know, if you think that this is going away, you know, I've got a Bible that I want to sell you for, and I can sell it to you for a lot less than $59 a pop. So, no, this is going to, this again shows why, and we keep talking about this, but it's called cross pressure, folks. So the cross pressure of that woman who's concerned, and I'm using just the woman on this one as an example, the cross pressure on a woman who's working paycheck to paycheck, worried about how she's going to make that credit card bill. At the same time, her wages are going up, but inflation, you know, it's still tough out there cost-wise. At the same time, looking at, you know, IVF bans and taking away her reproductive rights, the Supreme Court, you know, rulings, that doesn't mean that she's going to vote for Biden or for the Democrats. It does mean it's not a cut and dry thing. She's upset about the economy. And therefore, she's gonna vote GOP. That's not how this works. The people have different conflicting pressures on them. And so far, every time there's been an election, again, going back to 2022, when the economy was far, far worse, that cross pressure on balance moved in the Democrats' direction. And so I don't see any of this changing. I mean, we see increased, I think, energy away from MAGA and these and the extreme, the extreme bands and things and Trump's rhetoric. At the same time, as we talk again, the economy is diminishing as the single most important issue. People are, by just 3 or 4 points, yes, right now, moving towards it's better than they thought, than they thought a few months ago. I think that trend's going to continue.
All right. So, Joe, you mentioned this at the top. This is turning into just another wild week for Trump. And rather than rehash all of it, and I know you want to hit the high points, my question is more, how much of these distractions are actually going to impact the campaign? Like, how much does he actually have to, like, does him being in court affect anything? How much does he really need to be out there focused on campaigning?
Look, I think this is like one of those things where every time he spends a day in court and comes out and lashes out and, it's the victim, plays the victim card. They're trying to take the tower. They're taking my money. It's all hoax. It's all, it's all election interference, all that kind of stuff. It is a day where he inflames his base and feeds them, but also a day, I think, where every time he does it, he loses any opportunity to try to reach, to grow beyond the base. And so that's why I keep saying, look, when you look at the 31% or so who say they'll, that they won't vote for him if he's convicted, I think he coming out in court and claiming victim, as each new shoe drops about how much money he can't come up with and all those kinds of things. I think, if he's convicted, maybe half of that third really mean it. But the other side of this is every day they're reminded that there are some real issues here. And so what I'm saying is, do 3, 4, 5, 6% of those, that third, come off of him because every day he's in court dealing with some legal problem or a different court dealing with that legal problem? He still has huge money problems, even though his bond is likely to, it's been reduced. He's still having trouble paying the $170 million or so that he's got, whatever the bond of, the New York fraud judgment ends up being. He's still having, looks like he's having trouble coming up with that. And then there, of course, is Truth Social being sold. Yeah, coming public. Yeah. And, Trump supposedly is going to net $3 billion in shares from the SPAC, which it's extremely shady.
Who knows what that number is going to be?
He can't cash out of that for 6 months. And, and will the shares even be worth anything by then? I mean, I suspect there's going to be some pretty heavy short interest in that stock as soon as that's, as soon as there's an ability to do that, to short it. Because I don't, it doesn't seem, it's losing money. The price was highly inflated. It's probably a bubble supported by, MAGA investors. And I'm not sure as you point out, who knows what it'll be worth in 6 months. But in the end, whatever it's worth in 6 months isn't going to help him now. So all this is, he just doesn't, I think it was Reed Galen who tweeted yesterday that, there's just something about Trump right now that makes you think like his heart's not really in it anymore. It's all sort of going through the perfunctory, standing in front of the court. And even the rallies are kind of like, people are yawning and leaving early and all that stuff. So we'll see. But I don't think I think the court victimhood thing has run its course in terms of, ginning up whatever votes in the MAGA base he can gen up. It's going to become kind of old news and boring to see him do it repeatedly now, day after day, regardless of what the court is, what the charge is, and you start having, the first one, the hush money trial, you know, officially starts now April 15th. So that's going to be, you know, I don't think that's the most dangerous for him in terms of having impact on voters, but financially it could be, you know, obviously devastating if he makes the bond eventually, right. If that gets played out, it's going to be a problem.
Well, let's go to a listener question. This is from Cameron in New Mexico. This is very Trump-related. I feel like I'm seeing more Joe Biden dunks on Trump now. Wasn't Joe Biden's whole thing that he's above the name-calling and mudslinging?
You know, I think we've gone beyond the when they go low, we go high.
Yeah, Frank Luntz, ridiculous.
Explanation for how Democrats should fight. I think, you know, the Lincoln Project, I think, taught us a lot, me a lot, about, you know, the way you beat authoritarians is with humor. And, I think that Joe Biden congratulating Trump on his golf wins,
huge. This is a visual medium, massive air quotes here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, hey, I won this trophy and I won that trophy and I'm great. And Biden, because, you know, congratulates him. Hey, that's a great thing. It was funny as hell. I think whoever is, they really have stepped up their social media game in the last three or four months. And I also think, like, you know what? It, you know, people go, well, oh, so you're saying when they go low, you go low, since you know, when they go low, it used to be we go high. No. I think it's the Lincoln Project. When they go low, we go pirate with some humor and some ridicule with a tinge of humor to it. And you get inside, you know, a lot of this is getting inside Trump's head, which impacts him. I mean, one of the things I think is when, you know, like Lisa Murkowski is now saying she may leave the Republican Party because she's not going to vote for Trump. You know, goading Donald Trump into attacking Lisa Murkowski is not a bad thing to do. It sort of showcases the divide that he's helping to create. So yeah, congratulations, Donald. Quite the accomplishment. You know, it is pretty funny stuff. And I think it's just one of the examples of the way the Biden campaign's been dunking on Trump.
The golf thing was really funny. I know our friend Ruth Ben-Ghiat pointed this out, but basically authoritarians always have to win. It's like a key part of their propaganda. But I mean, I remember like growing up learning about the stories of how Kim Jong-un shot like a 38 under with 11 holes in one. And the golf parallel between Trump and his friend, what was it, Little Rocket Man or whatever he used to call him. But now I'm sure they're best buds. He's probably hit him up for the bond too. But it's just so clear that this is exactly that kind of propaganda again.
Yeah. It's so ridiculous. And that's what I mean. So Biden calling him out and, you know, and giving a big, you know, congrats. And then, of course, you pointed out Frank Luntz saying, well, there goes the party of when they go low, we go high. Give me a break. But I reposted that, quote, posted it, whatever we're calling it these days, quote, retweeted it.
Yeah, who knows?
No, I quote tweeted it and said, you noticed? It's like, yeah. Yeah, but it's not going to be the same game, guys. We're not rolling over.
Right.
It's just pathetic. And particularly on something that stupid. I mean, it's just, oh, God, it's just, what the Republican Party is. I mean, actually, the thing that's missing was, you know, you got to ask yourself, you would hope that at least the Republicans in the Senate and the House would, you know, follow with Joe Biden and congratulate their leader on such a great golf game and an amazing selection of trophies that he bought for himself, you know, because that's how ridiculous the party's become.
All right, let's go to a couple more quick ones from listeners. This one is from Carla in Washington. I'm a loyal MSNBC viewer. I've been on since you were on their shows regularly. So she's been watching for a while, but her question was, what were they thinking, and I think she means NBC writ large, when they tried to hire Ron McDaniel as a commentator? Since this question came in, there's been a ton of backlash. NBC has terminated the contract. Ronna McDaniel says she's going to sue. Now, and this is my favorite. I just want you to react to this too. MSNBC commentators are worried that this is going to hurt them with Republican sources. Joe, what the hell?
Yeah, well, that's what it was all about. We need somebody, you know, who can talk Trump with us and get some of those leeway into sources. But when your sources are all liars, it's kind of like, who cares, right? Hey, wait. I need a source to tell me what today's lie is part of the whole problem here. And so, look, first of all, it doesn't work that way. When a network sits you down, generally they announce that, hey, we've terminated, you know, Ronna McDaniel. But trust me, she's getting paid her full the full fare here. They just sit you down, give you the big check for doing nothing. And I know, because I've been sat down by a network once. I've been at NBC, MSNBC, CBS Evening News, Fox, CNN. I'm not going to get into which one, but I know exactly how that works. And my guess is she's not going to have to sue to get the full boat. But it does get into what the hell were they thinking? This isn't, you know, they go like, well, what about Axelrod? Or what about ABC with Stephanopoulos? Isn't that the same thing? No, as Sony pointed out, David Axelrod is not a liar. He may spin. Joe Trippi may spin. George Stephanopoulos, when he worked for Clinton, may spin. But they weren't accomplished, brazen, caught repeatedly, out-and-out liars, and particularly about an insurrection against Congress and to overturn and the president to overturn an election like Ronna McDaniel is. And so I get the point, but it's a ridiculous one. And for NBC, I mean, you know, Chuck Todd and I always had a really good relationship when we were, when I was in presidential campaigns and he was involved, you know, covering them. I've had my set of disagreements with some things he did, in the network. But God, was he just out there on point when he, you know, went after this Ronna McDaniel thing. And when, same thing with Maddow and the rest, they stood up and they made management understand this was, we're not taking prisoners on this one. She's got to go.
Yeah. And, I think he said gaslighting. Yeah, he was all over it. So
wasn't worried about it. He wasn't worried about losing his job or any of that stuff. He just did it. And I think it needed to happen. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen enough because every network puts the liars on, all of them, in the same weird hope that maybe they can get another 100,000 people Trump people to watch or something. It's just, and in the meantime, they're gaslighting us all.
All right. I think we got time for one more question, Joe. And this is a transoceanic question. This is from Baran, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, in Italy. Thank you for addressing the Senate last episode. Do you think Democrats really have a chance to do the impossible, that's his word, and hold the Senate?
Yep. Hell yeah. You know, and part of this is, like in several of the last few cycles, Republicans keep making it easier and easier for us to possibly pull something like that off. You know, a tweet from Brent Peabody on Twitter, you know, pointed out that abortion is cleared for the ballot in Montana, which
helps Tester.
Helps Tester, increases youth turnout. We've got our preferred opponents in Ohio, Bernie Moreno. You can't, you know, you couldn't have
we
done better
than
that.
Yeah.
And Carrie Lake in Arizona. These are both people that make it possible for the Democrat to take that, those Senate seats. And which, I mean, Ohio wasn't even, I mean, seriously, we were on the defensive there with Sherrod Brown. It still may be a tough race, but it's a lot less tough against Bernie Moreno. And, you know, I think in the end, Arizona is totally doable now. So you put those two away for a second. And then we also avoided some really expensive contests in New Jersey and California.
Yeah, primaries. Yeah.
So those are over. And that frees up millions more for, you know, going after, you know, for protecting tester in Montana and others. So, you know, and I think Bob Casey needs, we still need to support, give money to these guys. But I think Casey's in good shape in Pennsylvania right now. And so the other thing that's crazy is what's happening in states that we weren't talking about, like North Carolina. This isn't the Senate, but they've nominated two crazy folks statewide. The MAGA Republicans have in North Carolina, and I think we've talked about this on the last show, but I think there's a real chance that because of this candidate quality problem that they've created in these Senate seats and in North Carolina, as an example, I think North Carolina may be a place that Biden wins in 2024. He only lost it by 74,000 votes in 2020. Nikki Haley got 250,000 votes in the Republican primary there against Trump. So you see the differential there. Some of those people said they'd vote for Biden over Trump. And now you have this candidate quality mess of two really radical extremist MAGA candidates for both governor and state school superintendent, where she's the school superintendent, GOP nominee, is for executing Barack Obama and Joe Biden. That this is somebody who wants to lead our schools in North Carolina, folks. I think that's going to put North Carolina in play, as some of these others are putting the Senate in play for us to maintain the majority. And then, of course, you do have Lisa Murkowski, too, who has now said she will not be voting for Trump and has said she may have to leave the Republican Party.
Well, and remember with her, it's interesting. They did her no favors last time around in Alaska. I mean, she had to win a write-in campaign. So it's not like she's walking away from much.
Right. No, but what matters is, does she change who she caucuses with? Because if she caucuses with the Democrats, for sure we take the Senate. Now, she may wait till she sees the results. It's one of those weird things. I think if Trump wins, you might see Murkowski and we're tied in the Senate. I think she could she could decide to leave the party and caucus with Democrats. If Biden wins and we have the majority, she may not. Or, hey, we've got the majority, Biden won, why not? So, I mean, but I think she's a key player. I mean, so you have these competitive races that we're now doing better in and have better opponents to beat, or easy opponents to beat. And then you have this other thing sort of hanging there. And I don't think that's going to end well for Trump and MAGA. I don't, as you said, they didn't do her any favors. She had to mount a write-in campaign. She's clearly not going to support Trump. And I think, so that gives us even more breathing room, I think, in the event that we need one more vote. She could be it. And by the way, I wouldn't count her, not trying to bring one or two others over. It's a vague possibility, but yeah, I think we're in much better position. And no, it's not impossible anymore. We can hold the Senate.
Joe, that's a great place to end today.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks, everyone, for listening to that trippy show. This podcast will always be free with support from our advertisers and is part of Resolute Square. So check out the latest at resolutesquare.com/trippy. Please subscribe to That Trippy Show and leave a review on Apple or wherever you listen. And please spread the word about this podcast. I think that those of you who've listened, we keep getting, sort of, hey, you keep us hopeful. You give us the straight scoop. We want to get that out there and, let people breathe a little easier, because it's not going to be easy, but this is eminently doable. And almost all the stuff that's being pumped out on cable talking heads, and I don't care which channel you're listening to, is just, crap reading of polls and day-to-day events that far out, I tweeted recently that, after these positive polls came out, like, you can't wait to see all the Trump's in trouble stories that are never going to be written. So we try to, tell it like it is. Hey, Biden, we still have some problems in Michigan that we've got to deal with. And we'll talk about those on a when we start doing our shows on each state, you know, with an expert from the state. We've got good people in Michigan who can, Amy Chapman and Timmer and others who can tell us what's going on up there and get a read on it. But it's not all roses, but we can do this. I feel much better. I'd rather be us than them. So see you next week.